Hello and welcome.
Hi.
Has this ever happened before where you haven't been on an episode?
Yeah, with your mom.
Oh yeah. Well, that's a little different.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not on this one. I'm excited to hear it go down.
We got Ryan Scott Graham from State Champs.
Yeah. So let me explain what happened. So it was the last like 3 days of Warped Tour, and we're like, fuck. And we like had all the, we talked to so many people, and everyone's like, yeah, cool. And then it just literally came down to not having enough time to do things.
Yeah.
Because the schedule of the days are difficult. And my girlfriend was in town with her family, and I had to not be there.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
You got a ride from the dog.
Oh, no, that's what happened. Yeah. I was cute. I did something cute.
Man, you're so cute.
I was. This is really cute.
It is.
So we were in Orlando, and we played early, and there's this fan who's an older gentleman. His name's Doug. If anyone had seen the video on the internet of us playing Hello World, it was because of this man. He really wanted to hear it. And he was from Tampa or St. Pete, which my girlfriend's family's from, and she was there. And I just asked him at the sign. I was like, "Hey, are you going back soon?" And he was like, "Yeah." And so I went and surprised her at her dad's house. And yeah, she didn't know I was going, and it was cute. So this is why I missed it. Yeah. It wasn't because I was hanging out with. Well, it was, but
I already had the plans to do the podcast with Ryan, so we just did it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an.
How was it without
he's
me?
An awesome dude. You know, it was sad, but I think people will enjoy it still.
So. Yeah, he's nice. He's a nice boy.
Yeah. So hopefully, hopefully you guys will dig it, and another episode down, man.
Yeah. I'm going to go back and listen to the Warped Tour ones if you can just hear the sweat on us.
Oh, you can. Well, you can certainly hear like the hum of the engine in the background. So.
Yeah. They're going to sound better again.
Yeah.
But I'm just coated in like sunscreen and body sweat.
Do we have to talk about Warped Tour still? I'm tired still.
No, we
from,
have to.
Just from thinking about it.
Yeah. I told you this, but I'll tell the people. So my body, we get through all of Warped Tour 2 months, and I don't get sick. And then the day we get home,
God.
I get like this day flu, and I just feel just awful, and I can like barely move, and I just feel like shit. And then it was like 2 days of that, and then at night I took a NyQuil just so I could go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I wake up in the middle of the night, and it was like, I wrapped myself in my blanket, and it was like I jumped in a pool. Like, I just sweated out, and then I've been good since. But it was like all of Warped Tour just, like, came out
in one night.
One night of disgustingness. I needed to wash that blanket.
Yeah, you probably should. Gross. But, oh, man. All righty.
Did you get sick yet?
No. I'm good, but I've been having a hard time getting to sleep. No, I've been getting to sleep, but I'm still doing like the wake up at like 6 in the morning and can't go back to sleep.
That's where I'm at too.
But
I don't know why that is.
Could be worse. I mean, I'm in my own bed, so I can just
You should do something. I did this the other night when I slept all the way through the night. I slept the other way.
Really?
Not like backwards, like sideways.
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
I don't know why, and I slept I woke up at like 9.
Wow.
Try it.
Maybe this will be my night.
Yeah, because it's like you're like throwing your body off and like it's like, oh, I'm not supposed to be this way, and it just like gives up. That's what I'm gonna say. What happened?
Oh my god. Alrighty, well here it is, Ryan Scott Graham, State. Well, thanks for sitting down. been doing a podcast. We've been talking about doing this for a long time. Yeah. It was like when you were in Phoenix on that
on the Speak Low tour.
Nick Deeper.
Was that I feel like it was
maybe before that.
Yeah. It was probably even before like 8123 Fest.
Yeah. God. How do you manage to tour that much? Like, do you not go nuts? Like the like couple months you have off from state champs, or
yeah,
I couldn't hang. I like need like my month at home every little bit. Like,
I definitely do. It's like when I do get time off, I try as hard as I can to, you know, put a little Speak Low tour, run something, yeah, something Speak Low related in there, because like, that's my baby, you know. I was doing that before I started state champs, and I put it on hold for, you know, another band that I was doing. And then when I joined state champs, I kind of put it on hold. So, you know, I really want it to happen.
Yeah.
If it happens, it happens, whatever. If not, it's okay. But I would love to know that, like, I would love to say that I did it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I go crazy for sure. I'm a psychopath.
Yeah.
Like, I need time alone.
Yeah.
And I never get it.
And you're making making albums with both bands.
Yeah.
That's insane.
So we state champs just had like 3 months off, and everyone was always, you know, they're hitting the group chat like, I'm going crazy, I'm so ready to get back on the road. And I was like, dude, I'm on the road in a 15 passenger van in the winter, like doing this tour, you know, a month and a half long tour. So I haven't really gotten to rest too much lately.
Is it hard to find the balance of, I mean obviously you have no choice but to put state champs before
anything else. It's my priority, it's my commitment, but it's hard. Everybody kind of asked me that question, and you know, they're like, how do you balance it? And I'm like, I barely, that's my answer. It's like, I barely do, but I do it.
So I guess kind of going back to, I didn't. So you weren't originally in state
correct
champs, right?
Because
that's something that I didn't know. Just kind of not knowing the backstory.
Sure.
So at what point did you join?
I joined. So they put out the record, The Finer Things, in November of 2013, and then I joined January 2014.
Oh wow!
So they put out their like debut record and did one tour on it. And then I joined after that.
Okay.
And so that was really before like anything was going.
I don't think I'd ever heard of you guys then, you know. And then it seems like you've kind of had a big presence in the band, especially like online to fans and stuff.
Yeah.
So I just would have always assumed like, oh, this guy is like, has been in the band the whole time. Because did it feel like fans gravitated towards you very quickly? Like,
yeah, I think like I'm just I'm a pretty zany character. I'm just like out there. Like, I really, really do love to talk to people and meet people. And, you know, coming up in like a DIY band and just touring my ass off for however many years, you know, you meet some eccentric people, you meet some really interesting people, and you want to meet those people because you never know what kind of story you're going to get out of it. You never know what kind of friendship you're going to get out of it. So I came from that world. And when I joined the band, I was like, wow, I'm like, my world is open to so many more people and so many different people. And so for me, when I joined the band, I was really interested in like, it wasn't about like, yo, I want to be this larger than life character. It was more like, I really want to like just know everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, as far as people gravitating towards me, I think it's really just because I'll talk to anybody.
Yeah.
I'll hang out with anybody.
Yeah. That's it. And did it feel like once you joined the band, things started happening really in a fast way? Or
yeah, I think so. I mean, honestly, I didn't really know a lot about state champs before I joined the band. I had seen them one time.
And were your influences the same as theirs? And like, were you as... Because obviously what Speak Low does and what state champs does is very, very different. Like, did you grow up with Drive Thru Records and pop punk, and I mean the things that I'm just assuming that the other guys
right
are into based on the time period that we all kind of grew up in. You know, that's all that I listened to. And
I definitely grew up with that. You know, I would I remember like specifically like one of my favorite tours that came to like a local venue was the Drive Thru Records tour.
Yeah.
And you know, so I was listening to that stuff, but that wasn't necessarily my favorite stuff.
Yeah.
And I wasn't making that in other bands that I was doing. I actually grew up in like a very religious household.
Okay.
So I was big into like the Christian rock scene. So like, you know, I loved Under Oath and I loved, you know, like The Devil Wears Prada and some of the heavier stuff. Yeah. As Cities Burn was like one of my favorite bands ever. But yeah, pretty much like the only shows I was allowed to go to were like bands that
Christian,
I could prove were like
Christian
bands,
yeah.
like no swearing, like blah, blah, blah.
Well, I guess the good thing is like, we did kind of grow up during a time where there was a lot of great Christian bands. There was an influx of them. There were so many that were great, you know. I mean,
and I feel like people were more open to listening to those kind of bands back then. Like I feel
now,
you stamp yourself as a Christian band, people are like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, like I grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
But like early, my parents really like harped on it, and I had to go to like school and all that stuff. And like all my brothers went to Catholic high school, and then by the time that it was me, they'd kind of gotten lax about it and like weren't really like that intense. So I didn't necessarily know how I felt at that time.
Sure.
Like I wasn't not religious, and I wasn't religious. But I didn't even think about it. I was just like, Under Oath and Anne Berlin and all that. Like, these are just bands that are
good
just
bands.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like now maybe they wouldn't have had that same success because people are turned off by that, you know?
Yeah,
like,
times are totally different. I think, you know, I think some of those bands were, like, purposely, like, vague about, you know, what they're writing about and what they're saying because I think you don't want to get pigeonholed. You don't want to be, like, oh, we're a Christian band, so we can only play like these youth retreats or at churches or Cornerstone or whatever, you know. So I think, you know, bands like Under Oath and other, you know, you said Emberlin.
Yeah,
I think those ones were the ones that kind of like broke free a little bit of that. But yeah, that was what I was listening to. So when I joined State Champs, it was kind of like, it was totally different. I joined because it seemed like a fun thing to do, you know.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I've never really written pop punk music before, so.
Yeah.
You know, I learned the record.
And did it feel, I mean, there had to have been a part of you that was like, oh, like these guys are on a record label. Like they're getting on real tours. Like, did it feel like your chance to like break out of just being like the local artist?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I had been doing a band called Good Luck Varsity for so many years. I was in the band for about 4 years and we had toured nonstop. And, we were fizzling out. We were kind of having like some internal conflict and some friendships were kind of falling apart. So the band was breaking up and I was really bummed about it. And honestly, I was like, I'm probably done playing music. I just don't know if I want to do this anymore. I lost some friends and it sucked. And, you know, I feel like I met the State Champs guys like a month later and then, Tyler stayed the night at my house one time after a show. They all stayed over and me and him stayed up late at night and we were just talking about everything under the sun.
Yeah.
And they were telling me, you know, they kind of had trouble with their bass player, blah blah blah, and me just being like cheeky, I was like, well, if you ever need anybody, you know. And then a month later he was like, yo, can you learn the record? We just fired our bass player, like we'd love for you to come try out. And so I drove 10 hours in like a winter storm to New York from Detroit to try out for this band that I didn't know any of them.
Yeah.
And, dude, it was like, it really was like my last ditch effort. I was like, can, if this works, this is awesome. If not, I'm probably done.
Yeah. It's crazy how it seems like that happens a lot in life where you, maybe once you care a little bit less, things happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you had tried over and over and over again to make this band work and it just wasn't happening, and then you kind of let go of the idea
that you needed it to happen
and then it just kind of worked out. And
yeah,
you know, I think that and that's a hard lesson to learn
for sure,
because you've you know, your instincts is always to like, oh, if I can like make something happen, if I can force it to happen.
Exactly. I was trying, I was forcing it, you know, I was holding on to this thing that I wanted to happen so badly, and it just wasn't. So yeah, I think I was trying to force it. Yeah. But I remember I was in school, I was in college at the time, and I got the text message like while I was in a class, and then I had three friends in this classroom, and they were all saying, you know, I told them like what was up. I was like, yo, I just got this really crazy opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. I might have to move to New York. I might have to do all these different things. And I was just like, I don't know if I'm ready. Like, I don't know if I really like want to do this. And all of them were like, you have to do this. Like, I wasn't even that close with them, but they were like the reasons why I like went out there and tried out. So, you know, there were so many like crazy things that had to happen for this to work out, and it did.
Yeah. And how was the process and continuing to like work your way into the dynamic of the band? Cause that's, you know, that's something that I've never had to deal with. It's like, I can't imagine somebody new coming to our band now.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, and then how they would feel to then like,
I felt like I was playing somebody else's songs, which I mean I was, but for the longest time I was just like, I take so much pride in like, you know, my musical credibility and whatnot, and the fact that I was just like playing this record that I barely
didn't have anything to do with.
And you know, at that point State Champs still, you know, didn't really have a following.
Yeah.
Like when I joined the band, the first tour we did was a tour with We Are the In Crowd. And I went into it thinking like, oh, State Champs, like I'm going to be on stage in front of a ton of people like every night. And we did this tour and I'm like, oh, they're playing like for like 300 kids, like, which is a lot for me because I would happily play a basement for like 30 kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was just like, oh, I thought this band was like way bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but the dynamic, like, dude, I think as far as like on the friendship level, it clicked like pretty quickly, you know. First, for them, I think, you know, they didn't have anyone else that was trying out.
Yeah.
And so they were just like, this better work out. I really hope this works out.
And it did, obviously. And then getting into writing the next record.
Writing was different because I think the reason that they wanted me in the first place or like even considered me was because
you write.
They knew that like I was a musician. I actually
you
gave
write
a
songs,
shit, and
you
I
sing,
love
you,
music.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, when we were writing Around the World and Back, which is the second LP that we did, I did have quite a bit of input, and it was cool that everybody was kind of open to it.
Yeah.
I think, like, I was definitely always worried about stepping on other people's toes. Like, you know, it's not my band or whatever.
And then do you feel like once that record came out, you... Now, does that even cross your mind?
I don't even think about it anymore. It really feels like, you know, this is my family.
This is just us. This is our band. Yeah.
I've been in the band 4.5 years now. Yeah. So like, you know, you don't even really think about those kind of beginnings anymore. It just feels like pretty effortless now. Yeah. I think.
And do you, you know, you're talking about as far as like, you don't ever want to be, you know, pigeonholed into certain things, or is that something you guys battle with as a band ever? Or, you know, because like for us for a really long time, like, so we didn't do Warped Tour for like 5 years. You know, from like 2009 we did it, and then we didn't do it again until 2014 or 15. And it was very conscious decision to do that, because we felt like people were just thinking of us as, oh, they're like the neon pop punk band or whatever. You know, at the time, is that's what everybody was calling us or whatever.
Yeah.
And we just really wanted to like step away from that and like become our own band, you know. And it's and like looking back, I guess it's like, well, like, why did we care so much? You know, like, it didn't.
You
like,
never know if that thing is gonna pay off that you're doing. But I feel like when I look at your band, I feel like it did. That's the fact that you took, like, you had it, your decision was conscious to not do Warped Tour and kind of like build your band.
And we felt like the records we were making probably didn't really necessarily work within the confines of Warped Tour, you know?
Yeah, I love the Maine because I think you are truly like original band, and I think that's what's cool about the songs that you make and like the way that you guys portray yourself and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean,
is that something you guys battle with ever or like?
Yeah, I think when we were making this new record, it was really important for us to not just write, you know, another just power chord filled pop punk record. Like, you know, I don't want to write songs that like anybody else could write and put their name on. You know what I'm saying? I want someone to listen to it and say that's undeniably State Champs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's super hard, especially in our genre, you know, being a pop punk band and whatnot. People look at it and they kind of write it off as, you know, there's not a lot of musicality in the songs and whatnot. Yeah, they're fun and upbeat and whatever. They might have a good hook, but like there's not a ton of thought or whatever put into them. And that was my main goal when we were writing this record, is just I want people to listen to this and be like, oh, these guys, they're a pop punk band, but they can play their instruments.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So,
which I think you accomplished, and I think that when people come to watch you, they see that. I mean, I said this same thing to Ryan from All Time Low, and I think the same goes for you guys, and probably you two the most out of anybody in this scene. Is like there is like a professionalism to your show that, I mean, you guys, it's very tight. It's very,
thanks.
You know, everything is played very well and great, and it's still energetic, you know. We're like, we're up there kind of like it could fall apart at any second, you know.
I don't know about that. I haven't seen it yet, so.
No, I mean, it could and it has and it does. But like that's just kind of
the way it goes.
What we do, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that if people come and see it, they understand that you guys can play and you
yeah.
Is there a band or a kind of a, I'm interested, like if there's like a career trajectory that you guys look up to, or like other bands you're like, oh, like how Jimmy World went from making this kind of record to that one and that
right.
one, and then they started touring this way, or, you know, or whatever. Like for us, like Wilco and Ryan Adams, I'd say are like the path that we would want to head on of just like being able to make whatever records we want and like have an audience that's
got
gonna,
that loyal fan base.
Gonna care about it, and like we don't have to pander necessarily in any way to like make a record that feels like kids will the new kids coming up will still like it,
right.
You know, like we just want like our audience, and then we can make the records that we are in the mood to make that year.
Sure.
You know,
I love that about your band. As far as us, you know, I don't know. I haven't really ever thought about that. I think the goal with this one was really to write something that was new and fresh, but still like very State Champs.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there were elements of the first and second
records.
Which
is a hard, I mean, like we're getting ready to start like working on the next record, and it's like, how do you maintain yourself and still do something?
How do you not go too off the map to where people are like, "What is?"
And how do you not do the same thing again?
It's exactly.
Like, it's such a hard, tricky balance, and it's like
probably it's so fun though. It's so fun to try to do that. Yeah. If there's a band, I mean, there's got to be a band out there that like, you know, their career is inspiring. I mean, I don't want to be like too cheesy, but like maybe even like a Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say that I love every Fall Out Boy song and every Fall Out Boy record.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that they, you know, came from the same world as us, they're playing, you know, sweaty clubs, and now they're playing arenas for people who only know the songs that they have on the radio.
Yeah. Which is wild.
I mean, it's just crazy. Like that, In and of itself, is inspiring.
Inspiring. Oh, it absolutely is. And speaking of that, are you, the tour is that something you ever thought would happen?
No,
you guys
absolutely being
on a Fall
not.
Out Boy tour,
dude. That's crazy. Like, the whole thing is just crazy.
And then Blink like back to back.
Yeah,
I mean that's just fucking wild. I mean, I can't imagine how good that feels, you know. To
it's cool to see our name on, like, the flyer, you know, yeah. and just be like, yo, we got big dicks, too. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, they're a little bit smaller, yeah, but yeah. they're still kind of yeah. big.
Like,
no, I never thought that would happen. Like, we did an arena tour 2 years ago with 5 Seconds of Summer.
Yeah.
And for us, we were like, this is a fluke. Like, this
that
is,
that was, like... those are our buddies, yeah. like just kind of doing 5-6
shows,
and
like
it's like in Australia, so it kind of doesn't like
doesn't count.
Yeah,
of.
Yeah, it doesn't count. Yeah. It's like, yeah, we like go over there and play festivals or you know, it's right. like, yeah, but to like
that's
do it,
what it felt like.
Yeah,
and I was just like, this probably will never happen again. So let's soak it up.
Yeah,
and the fact that we're doing it again now in America with like just this massive
with. Two entity. Bands that have inspired everybody playing this tour,
right?
You know,
it's crazy. It really yeah. is,
and it has to feel like, you know, they could have asked anybody in the
sure.
freaking world,
sure.
and everybody would have said yes. And then, like, for you guys to get asked is like,
yeah, it makes no, it just makes no sense.
That's
honestly
that's awesome.
So,
you know, that's like the coolest thing ever.
It is. It is. I'm really excited for it. You know, the thing I'm most excited about is the fact that I really do feel like we're going to be playing for a ton of people who just don't know who we are.
Oh, I'm,
you know, a
yeah.
lot of our fans are stoked about it, but at the same time, you know that both of those bands have, like, the casual listener
oh,
that
yeah.
will come to all of their shows and buy all the records, but they don't know anything about Warped Tour. They're not,
no,
they're not
yeah.
coming out here. So, you know, we're this
no,
new
the,
band
I mean,
to
the,
them.
The opportunity is just
yeah.
ridiculous, you know.
New record out. We're a new band to all, like, however many
yeah.
people, like 90% of these people. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm ecstatic for that.
Yeah, that's fucking cool, man. Yeah,
yeah.
Congrats on that.
Thanks,
that's,
man.
That's just, like... And so on the new record, do you guys do it all with John Feldman? Or
we did 5 songs on the record with John Feldman, and then we did... Mike Green and Kyle Black co-produced. They helped with the rest. You know, we came in with a ton of songs, and
yeah.
some of them were shit.
Yeah.
Some of them were good. You know, they gave us a little bit of direction on that. But it was interesting, like, splitting up the process between, you know, two different producers, two different people who do it
totally different. Yeah. Yeah, that's something that we've never done. Like, we've always done a record with one producer.
Right.
You know? Was it hard to, like, think about the record in a broader sense because you were only focusing on certain songs with
yeah.
one?
It was definitely... That was the hardest part, I think, as far as trying to keep the,
like,
record cohesive.
Making sure you had the right amount of stuff.
Right.
That
we need a fast song. We need
yeah,
this,
yeah.
this kind of song.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I think John Feldman has a very... you know, trademark sound.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think when you listen to the record, you can tell what songs that we did it with him, but at the same
yeah.
time, they're still state champs because those were songs that we, like, brought.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, he put his little flavor on them and whatnot. But, yeah, man, it was definitely difficult, like, bouncing back and forth because I didn't want somebody to listen and say, you know, this sounds weird. Like,
yeah,
why
yeah.
do these songs sound
so
different?
Yeah.
But I think we did a really good... Like, Kyle mixed the entire record.
Oh, okay.
And so we had one ear on it, and he did our
yeah.
last record, and we were so happy with it. So I think he smashed it. I mean, it sounds larger than life, and it's just, you know, it ended up being cool because you got so many different perspectives on the record.
Yeah.
So many different, hey, what do you think about this or this or
yeah.
this? Like,
I mean, and when you're saying, you know, when you're talking about, like, hey, we don't want to make the same record again, we want to... progress but, like, still be our band, well, that's a good way to not make the same record again.
Exactly.
Is to, like, throw as many different things at the wall as you can and get
right.
get other opinions and
yeah, yeah. I mean, I think there's always going to be people who kind of have their own agenda and they want, you know, dude, you should do it this way or this way or this way.
Yeah.
Like, I went in saying, like, I'm gonna put my foot down if I'm not down with
yeah.
some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we did, you know, we butt heads quite a bit making this record. And
yeah.
I think if you don't, you're not, you don't care enough.
Yeah. It's
probably.
The hardest thing to realize, like, I think in the music industry is, like, once you come to the realization that, like, nobody else is going to care about your band as much as you.
Right.
Like, no matter how much, like, you know, you have people that are on your team that are so invested in it. But no matter what, they can't care as much as you do, because they also care about other bands. And they also care about it's like, well, for you, this is all you do. You know, like, this is what you do. This is your life.
You're like slaving over a hot stove all day trying to make these songs.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was like, it was always the little things for me. And in the grand scheme of things, I think a lot of times it probably just didn't matter at all. Yeah. But I still was like, no, this is the way it's got to be. So
yeah, that's so how when you guys write, do you commute, are you like headed out to meet up with the guys a bunch, or
we did a decent amount of writing in LA when we were all there together. We probably spent a month there, and then we did 2 weeks in upstate New York. We just rented out a cabin and just wrote a bunch of songs in there, set up all of our gear, and you know, the way that you would do it, like just jam with your band.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we would just jam, go home. Like, all the guys live there, so they would go home. I don't live there, so I stayed at the house.
Cabin, yeah.
And just wake up early in the morning, like drink some coffee, and just like bang out some music like all day. And it was such a good experience. So fun.
That's fucking awesome.
It felt like, I felt like a kid again. You know what I'm saying? Because like we hadn't really done that in a while. The way our touring schedule was, it was like tour. Okay, we have a month to write a record and then a month to record it.
Yeah.
So then we would write a bunch and then we would go record it. This time it was like everything felt slower.
Yeah.
We had time. You could come with a goofy riff and end up with like a great song.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened. Like sometimes we would just drink a couple beers, write a little riff, and then just jam all night.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Is that how you guys kind of do your records? I know you like, transformed, like,
a house. So we've kind of, like, over the past two records, we've transitioned more into working, at least on the last one, like, not setting up and playing together as much, but we, like, all get in the studio or in a house or something, and, like, usually we'll, like, throw up just like a drum loop,
sure,
and then plug in a guitar and start whatever. So doing it more that way, just so that way we can like pace
tweak
things
everything
around,
exactly,
and tweak or whatever. And like we kind of keep our demos like really rough, like as rough as possible. And then that way, once we get that kind of figured out, then once we record it, then like we're very much like we won't use like. Like every amp has to be ahead in a cab.
Sure.
Like when we're recording, and like even like
it's got to be the real stuff.
Even like vocal effects, like trying to do as much like running mics through guitar pedals and amps and
I love
shit
that.
Like that.
Love
and like
that.
We're very much so like put our foot down with that with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. 'Cause
at least we feel like all right, if we're gonna like bend a little bit on like modern production things, because like we have recorded records like to tape and like completely like live and stuff. So like if we're gonna bend and like use some of the tricks and tools, we at least want to like keep some of the life in it, you know, and like keep like
love that,
you know, as much as we can. And it gets harder and harder to do that when everything else sounds really good. There's a lot of like fake amps that sound really good,
right.
And like we'll like do that on the demos all day, you know.
Yeah.
But when it comes to actually recording, we're like,
you gotta
kinda
find the tone.
Like the fucking challenge of trying to find the tone, and like there's a buzz and you can't get rid of all of it, so you just like fuck it,
maybe,
you know?
Keep it.
Let's just do it. So like as much as that, we like try to do, you know, as best possible. But
I'm really into that. I mean, that's kind of the way that I made the Speak Low record. It was it was like...
Did you do that with Aaron Marsh?
Aaron Marsh,
right?
Yeah.
Which
was crazy.
Must have been all crazy.
Yeah. One of my idols growing up, for sure.
I mean, just those records sound so good. And
he just knows what he's doing, man. We would spend the time really like searching and digging for that tone. Hey, this amp isn't the one. Let's do this one. Turn it up. Turn this down. Blah, blah, blah. And you know, he's got so many like beautiful pianos, and the way that he mic'd the drums. It was just like, I don't think I had ever really done a record like that. And I think that's the, when I think about like Copeland Records and or any records that I love from like years ago, I think about that process and like I would watch those DVDs or I watch whatever and I'm like, damn, I really want to make a record like that. And so the fact that I got to do
it makes you feel like, hey, I'm like really in a band. Like, like this is like this is what I always thought it would be like. You know, like when we did the record to tape and like completely live, we did it with this dude, Brendan Benson, who was in the Wrecking Tours with Jack White and shit. And cool. I was like, all right, this feels like what I thought like being in a band is
super punk
to be.
And
it's just like fuck yeah, like and. Maybe it's just for yourself, but like you gotta do stuff just for you. You know, you gotta do stuff sometimes that you don't care about what anybody's gonna think about it.
I completely agree.
Like the joy that I get making a record, if people like it or not, like I wouldn't rather spend my month doing anything else. Like you know, when you're hearing something back at the end of the night. There's not, and you have fucking your five buddies, and everyone's had a couple drinks, and you're listening back, and it's late. It's like, come on, like
it's special.
That's special. It like is. Playing shows is insane and cool, but there's something about that. That's
completely agree.
Like, undeniably, just cool.
As much as I love Warped Tour, I'm like ready to get home and like put a guitar in my hand and just like jam.
Yeah,
it's hard to do that out here. Do you guys do? Do you like make music or anything? No,
it's just too busy. We've tried. Yeah. And then now, like I'm on this one, we just like, all right. We always bring shit out and act like we're gonna do it, and then we never do. So let's not even pretend anymore.
Yeah.
But like literally, like the second we get home, we're like going into like working on a record.
Sick.
We rented out a studio in Phoenix for a year.
Wow.
So we're just kind of going nuts in there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's been, and it's like, it feels very much like a studio, like you would think of, like what a recording studio is, and so, yeah, we're excited, but I'm burnt out, and I'm very excited to get home.
Write some music, go to sleep for like a week.
Yeah. Thanks for taking the time. I don't want to take up your whole day.
No, I appreciate you having me out.
I appreciate it, and. I am glad that we are able to actually get this done finally. Yeah. Fuck. Been talking about it for a year. So
cool.
Awesome, dude.
Thank you, brother.